Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Anthony Turton, professor at the Center for Environmental Management at the University of the Free State. A very good morning. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us.
Good morning to you and the listeners.
So it just seems so strange because we're, of course, at the end of our summer, certainly in Gauteng. It's our rainy season. We've had a lot of rain. Could we have water scarcity in South Africa?
I'm always quite amazed when a journalist asks me about could we be facing a water crisis. South Africa has been in water crisis for a long period of time. You know, that's just the way it is. We are a fundamentally water-constrained country. And water is not just about rainfall and water suddenly running in a river and a dam. It's also about the infrastructure needed to collect, process, divert it, et cetera. So it's actually a very, very complicated story. But yes, the reality is that South Africa is as water constrained as large parts of the Middle East and North Africa if you divide the total volume of water we have into the population that we have.
Yeah, it's always so interesting because we look at areas in the Middle East and we think, that's a shame. They really, really don't get a lot of rain. But in the meantime, many of those countries, certainly I know what Israel is doing, has a tremendously positive track record around it. They're not losing water between the reservoirs and the taps. They're recycling. How are we faring in those areas?
Yeah, we generally are not very good at recycling. Our recycling side is, in fact, particularly poor, and that is an area that we're going to have to look at very, very soon. I think the nearest approximate for us would be Australia. We are climatically quite similar to Australia, and Australia is blessed with actually less water than we have, but with a smaller population. So Australia appears to be relatively more water abundant. But they've got very progressive policies there. And it's all about policy at the end of the day. Now, if you have policy that is driven by government, then that is forward-looking. And it's in our context, that policy has to start embracing new technologies that are emerging, global technologies. And I can talk about some of those if you want to. But there's a range of technologies that we're going to have to simply start embracing if we want to grow our economy. And that's the important point. Water is an economic enabler. That's the critical point that people need to understand.
Yes. So is it about the policies or is it about the implementation? I always think that in South Africa, sometimes we get, I'm not saying in the water space, but we get our policies right. It's just we completely fall apart when we implement it.
Now, our policy, we had our policy right 20 years ago, but we haven't had any significant policy reform subsequent to that. So, in fact, we don't actually even have an official water policy, believe it or not. As a professor, I often get people doing master's theses and some PhD work, et cetera, or I edit some peer-reviewed text that's going out. And people talk about sort of society and policy. I say, well, what is the policy? Show me the policy. Where is it? Mm. And they say, no, it's the law. But, well, the law is not the policy. Okay? And so, the last significant policy that we had was in about the early 2000s when we had really, really serious policy shift to start embracing environmental flows and stuff like that. And subsequent to that, we haven't had. And, of course, the reason why policy is important is because policy starts creating the enabling space for capital and technology to flow into the sector. And at the moment, because water has been nationalized, it was the first resource to be completely nationalized, there's no economic value for water, believe it or not. So it's got no economic valuation to it. Mm. And therefore, it cannot attract investments into the water sector. And that's why we are now about one trillion rand backlog in terms of capital investment into the water sector. And that can only be rectified by policy certainty.
When we have a storm in Johannesburg and we see all of this water running down the road, it goes into the storm water drains, is that captured somewhere?
Yes, we capture pretty much every drop of water somewhere. And now, you mentioned Johannesburg, which is a very interesting case.
Mm.
Johannesburg is the only city in the world, not on a river, not on a lake, and not on a waterfront, It's on a continental watershed divide. So what that means technically is that all water in the entire Gauteng area, not only Johannesburg, is pumped uphill from river basins far away. So the Tugela in KZN, for example, or the Lesotho Highlands, but there are numerous different donor river basins that feed into Gauteng. And, of course, because you're pumping water uphill to the city, as soon as that water gets used, it comes back one toilet flush at a time into a whole host of wastewater treatment works, which gets discharged straight back into the river. So Gauteng is upstream of its drinking water. So all sewage return flows in Gauteng go into drinking water resources at some point in time, and that's our problem now because we don't have a high-quality next-generation technology to clean up our wastewater. So we're starting to pollute our wastewater. We're polluting our drinking water resources by our failure to manage our sewage works in South Africa.
Amazing. It's really interesting. And are we still losing so much water between the reservoir and our taps?
Well, one of the biggest issues in the water sector is unaccounted for water. Mm. Depending on where you are, we can be losing up to 40% of the water. So from the water in the dam, to the water in the processing plant, then into the pipelines to go to the cities, and then from there into the municipalities, you've got tens of thousands of kilometers of pipeline. And a lot of those are leaking. They haven't been upgraded for decades. So we lose something in the order of, depending where you are, between 20% and 40% of our water, in some places even higher than that. Mm. And what that means is that, it's a scarce resource that's being wasted. But it also means that the municipalities are not converting that resource into a revenue flow. And because of that, the water sector is undercapitalized, you see. So we start getting into that whole vicious story now about where we're going to raise the one trillion rand, 800 billion rand that's needed to recapitalize the water sector. Because we're not recovering the revenues, and that's also one of the reasons why water doesn't have any economic value, so therefore you can't really easily attract private capital.
Yeah, it's almost something that you just assume is there, otherwise it only works in the negative, I guess, not in the positive.
Well, water is an ultimate economic enabler, and we need to understand that. If we didn't pump water uphill to Johannesburg would simply not exist. Okay? So it's as simple as that, okay? And now if you take your areas of economic activity away from Gauteng, where else have you got major economic activity? The Gauteng area, or the area supplied by the Orange Vaal system, sustains 45% of the population and 65% of the GDP of the country is produced in that one river basin. So that is of huge strategic importance. But then if you go down to the coast, you go from Cape Town up to Port Elizabeth, East London, Durban, all of those cities are profoundly water constrained. In fact, we had day zero in Cape Town.
Right,
they have day zero now in East London, Port Elizabeth, etc. So every one of our coastal cities is profoundly water constrained. And this is where the policy issue comes in, because we actually are not water constrained. Two-thirds of the planet is covered in water. We are salt compromised. We are not water constrained. And so that's where the policy thinking should start coming in, because if policy thinking aligns or defines what the problem is and what the future ought to look like, now we start working towards a structured plan. With an adequately resourced plan, a correct number of engineers and capital, et cetera, et cetera. So, for example, there's been I'm right at it now, in fact, as I'm talking to you, a place in Durban South, the wastewater works there, that was one of the first in the country to recycle its wastewater. And that water is used for industrial process purposes.
Brilliant.
At an oil refinery, and right. Also at a paper factory.
Right. What's happened with our desalination plants? I mean, obviously, when the drought was at its worst in the Cape, there was a lot of talk around that. What happened to those?
Well, they pretty much all failed, and the reason why they failed is quite simple. When you're talking about desalination, once again, I get back to policy. You've got to have your policy certainty that says that the city of whatever it is, Durban, Port Elizabeth, Cape Town, is now fundamentally water constrained. Therefore, we are going to start desalinating water at a utility scale. Now, utility scale, that's the scale of a kind of local authority. So we're talking in the water sector, 200 megalitres, 250 megalitres per day. That should be that's a utility scale desalination plant. The plants they're talking about at the moment now don't even do 1 megalitre a day.
Unbelievable.
So they're very small plants, they're temporary plants, and now you get to the economics that doesn't work because your economics is driven by the volume throughput, okay? The bigger the volume, the lower your unit cost.
Right, so of course. Economies of scale.
And then the second thing is, the longer your payback time for capital, the lower your unit cost. So at the moment, your desalination plants are all very small plants, and they only there as a temporary plant. So effectively, you're being asked to buy a house with the same financial instrument that you'd used to fund a cell phone. It's an inappropriate funding model. Therefore, it's extremely expensive. Okay. But if you get the volume throughput right, and that comes down to the policy now suddenly it's been proven in the Durban area that if you take your wastewater and you recycle that and you mix that with your seawater, you reduce the osmotic pressure, you make it less saline, in other words, which means you use less energy to push the water through the membrane, and it suddenly becomes the same price as surface water from
the
ocean.
Right.
You see. Yeah. So it's that economic thinking, that's the business model. That's where we've got to start going with our policy.
Unfortunately, we do need to leave it there. Such a fascinating and such an important conversation. Professor Anthony Turton, he's a professor at the Center for Environmental Management at the University of the Free State. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us.